So the Talmud in Masechet Erechim discusses exactly the times that on which we recite Hallel. So what? Before we read it, let's just summarize for ourselves. Then we'll read it inside. But when do we recite Hallel? Festival. So what is that? That's Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Hanukkah. Okay, so here's the thing. Rosh Chodesh and the end of Pesach after the first day in Israel or the first 2 days outside of Israel, those don't really count as reciting Hallel. Half Hallel, where we skip those two paragraphs, that's only a minhag to say those Hallels. In fact, there are three different practices in terms of the bracha for that Hallel. The standard Ashkenazi practice is that everybody says a bracha. The standard Syrian practice is that nobody says a bracha on half Hallel. In Rosh Chodesh, they don't say a bracha. And after the first day of Pesach, they don't say a bracha either. And the standard practice for there are other Sephardim and some Ashkenazim as well, those who follow the practices of the Grav, the Gaon of Vilna, only the public says a Hallel, but each says a bracha, but each individual does not. So the leader recites the bracha, and everybody else doesn't recite the bracha. That's my personal practice. So if I'm leading Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, I recite the brachos at the beginning and at the end. But if I'm not leading it, if I'm just saying it myself, I don't recite the bracha. And that's true for most of Pesach also, after the first day. We'll discuss all that in a minute. Yeah.
My son, Shur, Hashmoni, and they have the mixture of Sfaradim, and Yehudei Arak, Yehudei Arak, and Ashkenazim. So this guy was not, it was Rosh Chodesh, and so he gets up to do Hallel. He sat down, and somebody else in the Kaal said
the bracha. Yeah, and he didn't say the bracha. That's right. Because it's really only a custom to recite those Hallels. So how, why a custom should have bracha, it's an interesting question. It's not our topic for today. But this Gemara is discussing days upon which it is a mitzvah to recite Hallel. And it's actually a machlokas, whether it's a biblical mitzvah or a derabanan mitzvah. The Rambam thought it was derabanan to recite Hallel, meaning it's not really one of the mitzvos. The Ramban thought it was doraisa to recite Hallel. That's how we show praise to God, is by reciting Hallel. So the act of reciting Hallel, says the Ramban thought, was biblical. So here's the Gemara. Shneimasar yom, page 1 at the bottom, I marked off where we're reading. Shneimasar yom bashana makeba chalil. So that's the Mishnah that tells us when they used to play the flute in the Beis HaMikdash. Maishna hane ho'il v'yachid gomer b'henes sahalel. Why are these the days that they played the flute in the Beis HaMikdash? So the answer is because those are the days on which everyone recites Hallel. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, Shmona asar yamim shehayachid gomer b'henes sahalel. There are 18 days on which 18 days per year on which Hallel is recited. Shmona yemei hachag, the 8 days of the chag. What's the chag?
Sukkot.
The 8 days of Sukkot. Ushmona yemei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah. That's 16 already. V'yom tov arishon shel Pesach, and the first day of Pesach. V'yom tov shel Atzeres. And Atzeres, even though we know Shmini Atzeres, but Atzeres in the Gemara is Shavuos. Atzeres is Shavuot. Uvagolah, Esrim Ve'echad. Outside of Israel, there are 21 days on which Hallel is recited, because there's 3 extra days, right? The extra day of Shavuos, the extra day of Sukkot, the extra day of Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres at the end, and the extra day of Pesach, that year recite Hallel, it's the second day Yontif. Tisha Yemei Achag, 9 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres of Chastora. Shmona Yemei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Atzeres, and both days of Shavuos. So here's the first question. So now the Gemara is going to account for why are those the days that we recite Hallel. Okay, so that's going to be the central thing. We have to understand why, when do you recite Hallel? Only then will we know whether it's proper to recite Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So the central thing is to figure out what are the factors that determine why we recite Hallel on these 18 or 21 days. So first the Gemara says, "My shna bechag, damrinan kol yoma, umay shna bepesach, delo amrinan kol yoma." The first question is, why is Sukkos different from Pesach? Why is that on Sukkos you recite a full halal every day, but on Pesach you only recite halal on the first day? Anybody know the difference? Why does Pesach only get one halal at the beginning, but Sukkos gets a halal every day? Right? Pesach you only recite, if you look, on Sukkot you recite the full halal every day, and on Pesach you only recite the full halal on the first day. So Gemara answers, the Chag chalukin bekorbanoseihen. The Pesach ain't chalukin bekorbanoseihen. Sukkos has a different korban each day. So it's a different musaf. It's a different, if you look in the, 75% of the, if you look at the musaf for the regalim in the siddur, two-thirds of the musaf thing in the siddur is just the different things you see on Sukkot. And on Pesach, you skip 20 pages and you go to the next thing, right? So on Sukkot, there's a different musaf. There's a different number of korbanot, different number of animals for each day. Pesach, it's the same thing each day. Okay? So Pesach, it's the same. So it's only the first day that's a new thing. And so you recite Halal only on the first day. You don't recite Halal the rest of the days. That's the guiding factor. So first thing is Chalukin Bar Korban Oseyen, and Pesach is not.
The Halal is a function or of the Korban?
That's what he's saying right now. That the Halal, basically, well, what he's, it's not that the Halal is a function of the Korban. Halal is praising God. That's what it's for. We praise God for something that was done for us. So I think that the connection to the Korban is that whether you're praising God for something new or not for something new. So it's related to the Korbanos, but on Sukkot, each day is really its own thing. Whereas on Pesach, it's one long thing.
Hanukkah, there's something new every day.
Oh, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Hanukkah in a minute. Good.
Okay. It's also, by the way, that the very fact that when they did the Korban, it wasn't just the Korban, they had Tilim.
Right, no, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had things that they said. Okay, so that's Sukkot and Pesach. So now the Gemara says, well, if it has to do with the Korban Musaf, I got another day for you that has a special Musaf, and we don't say Halal on it. Which day? Shabbos. Why don't we say Halal every Shabbos? Every Shabbos, a special Korban, we're very grateful to God for giving us a day of rest. Why don't we say halal every Shabbos? That's what the Gemara says. Shabbos, the chalukah bekorban oseha. The second line in the middle. Shabbos, the chalukah bekorban oseha. Shabbos also has a special korban. So why don't we say halal on Shabbos? Leima lo ikri moed. Because Shabbos is not called a moed. Moed, an appointed time. There are special appointed times, and Shabbos is not one of them. Those are the appointed times listed in Parshas Emor, Parshas Re'ed, right? Those are the appointed times. So, Shabbos is not a moed. It's not called a moed. So that doesn't get a halal. So far, we have a rule. What gets a halal? Number one, if it's a moed, or number two, and number two, it has to have a special korban for that day. Right? Those are the two qualifications so far for assigning halal to a day. Okay? So in a minute, the Gemara is going to say, well, what about Hanukkah? There's no, it's not a moed, it's not, anything. We'll get there. We'll get there in a second. So what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a moed, right? We read Parshas Pinchas, we read Rosh Chodesh is in all those Parshios of the Moedim, right? Rosh Chodesh is there, so why not Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a moed. Lema lo ikdish basias melacha. Rosh Chodesh is not a holy day in that you're allowed to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. Now there are those who have the custom not to do melacha on the evening of Rosh Chodesh, but that's not required. So Rosh Chodesh isn't sanctified. It's not, there's no Kodesh to the day. A holy day is one on which you don't have melacha.
But there's an exception to that rule. Used to take
off. I just said that. I said there was a minhag to not do malach on Rosh Chodesh. That was a minhag. There's no requirement.
Yeah.
So, but they're not saying, you don't say Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh. I mean, we say Kiddush HaChodesh, the Shabbos before. They're not really Kiddush. Not, you don't lift a glass of wine and say Kiddush every Rosh Chodesh evening. And there's no special mitzvah to have, you know, festive meals on Rosh Chodesh. That's why, you know, normally, if you miss Ya'aleh V'yavo when you're benching on Pesach or on Sukkot, you have to bench again. If it's one of the mitzvah seudos, that means twice on a Yom Tov and three times on Shabbos, right? If you forget Ya'aleh V'yavo on Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkot, you have to repeat benching. Unless you've already benched twice that day, because there's two seudos mitzvah. On Rosh Chodesh, if you forget Ya'aleh V'yavo, you don't repeat benching. Because there's no seudas mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh. There's no, that seuda, you weren't eating it by virtue of the, you know, qua Rosh Chodesh. You weren't eating it for the Rosh Chodesh. You might have, you know, maybe you like to make a nice Rosh Chodesh seuda, but you didn't have to. So because you didn't have to, you don't have to repeat Ya'aleh V'yavo is not an integral part of the benching. But on the other days, when there's a seudas mitzvah, it's an integral part of the benching, so you have to repeat it. and then they quote a pasuk, Hashir Shiyeh Lachem Kalil Hiskadesh, Hiskadesh Chag, Laila Hamuktash Lachag. They quote the verse from Tehillim, on when they would sing a song, and they would sing a song on a Chag, so they learn that they only recite Halal on a day that is sanctified as a Chag. Lachag ta'un shi'a, lachag ta'ab. Laila hamukdash lachag ta'un shira. So if it's sanctified as a chag, then it requires halal. Shira refers to halal. That's the song. Ushe'ein mukdash lachag, ain't ta'un shira. And if it's not considered a holiday, you don't say halal. Okay. So now there's another question. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Why don't we say halal in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Good question. Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim, De'ikru Moed, V'de'ikdush Besiyas Melacha. What about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? They are Moedim, and you don't do Melacha on them. So why don't we say Halal? Leima Mishim de Rebbe Abahu, Dama Rebbe Abahu Amru, Malachi Asharei Slifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalolam, Mipnei Ma'in Yisraelom Rem Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim. Say, the answer is, like the following question that the angels asked God. The angels all asked God, why don't the Jews say Halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Meaning the Gemara asked the question, but the Gemara remembered that the angels already asked the question. They asked God, and God responded. As Rabbi Herschel Schechter likes to say when he comes across these Gemaras, it's questionable who was there to record this for the Gemara. I don't know if this, the secretary of the angels recorded and then sent it down, you know, UPS or FedEx to Bavel. We're not sure, but somehow this was recorded in the Gemara. So God answers, Amar lahen, Efshar melech yoshev al kiseh hadin, v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei meisim pesuchim lefanav. Could it be that the king is sitting judging people? And he's got the book of life and the book of death open before him. Bistrel Rim Shirolafanai? And the Jews would start singing Hallel? They'd be too scared to sing Hallel. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's Yom Hadin, the day on which God judges us. The Gemara, God says we'd be too frightened, we'd be too in awe to recite Hallel on those days. And therefore it's not appropriate to say Hallel on those days. Okay. So far we've accounted for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, why do we, why Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, why do we, why don't we? But Daniel asked, why on Hanukkah? Why? Hanukkah doesn't fit any of these categories. It's not a moed, there's no malacha, none of this stuff. So why do we say Halal on Hanukkah? Completely different reason. V'ha Hanukkah, v'lo hachi v'lo hachi. Hanukkah that's neither a moed nor has no malacha. Ka'amar mishum nisa. The answer is because of the miracle. So the reason why we say Halal on Hanukkah is because a miracle happened to us on Hanukkah. So there are now two reasons, two different kinds of Halal. There's a Halal of Yom Tov, that's if it's on a Moed with no Malacha. And there's a Halal that we recite if a miracle happened to us on a certain day. So we commemorate, we praise God for the miracle, by reciting Hallel on that day. That's the Jewish way of praising God for a miracle, by reciting Hallel. So what about Purim? Well, Purim. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Right? Purim also. Purim is like Hanukkah, right? So why not Purim? Okay, so this Gemara tells us there's three reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. The Gemara says it over here. The same Gemara, basically the same Gemara, appears in Maseches Megillah, and we're going to read it shortly. I want to stop here for a moment because I want to dwell on this Bishum Nisa because of a miracle. And then we're going to get to the Purim, the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim momentarily. I promise we'll get to it. It's very important for this topic. But I want to hold off. Turn to the next page.
Just 2 points quickly.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's very interesting that here's sort of an exception to the rule about Yom Kippur, because we usually are not passing halakha from an agadah. It's clearly an agadah.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, but we accept the Gemara, obviously.
Right.
But as far as Hanukkah, I know they still be Shum Nisa, but the fact remains historically that that year, when Hanukkah took place, they could not observe Sukkot, and they observed Sukkot.
Okay, so.
Okay. On Hanukkah, therefore, that's why they said the Hallel on Hanukkah. Makes more sense than the Nisa, but that's beside the point.
Okay. We don't pass an halacha based on those historical things either. So it's an interesting point, but that's not relevant. It's not really important for us right now. As far as the Gemara is concerned, and that's a very important point, Rabbi Silton, because it may be true historically, but the fact is that halacha is not ruled based on those things. Halacha is ruled based on what the Gemara says, based on what our tradition believes were the reasons. So the Gemara says that it's proper to recite Hallel because of a nace. If you look at the next page, on page 3, the Gemara in Psachim has the very same kind of a statement. The Gemara in Psachim says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, it's the underlined portion, Shir Sheba Torah, Moshe v'Yisrael amruhu b'shash she'alu min hayam. The song that's in the Torah, meaning Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, that we know who wrote it. It was written by Moshe and Bnei Yisrael when they crossed the sea. How they wrote it, there's a machlokas also in the Medrash and the Gemara. Did Moshe say every pasuk and then they repeat it, or did they all kind of write it together? A few different opinions about that. But then the Gemara says, Fehalal zem yamru. But who wrote Hallel? Who said we should say Hallel, this selection of Tehillim? Who decided about the Hallel? The answer, Neviim shebeinehen, teknulahen leYisrael, sheyehu omrin oso, al kol perek uferek, val kol tzara vitzara, shelotavo alehen. The prophets established that Jews should say Hallel on every Perek, which we understand to mean on the holidays and the Moadim, and on every Tzara that we are redeemed from. Right? Al Kol Perek Uferek, that's the Moadim, that's the Yontif Hallel. And then Al Kol Tzara Vitzara Shelo Tavo Alehen, on every distress that comes onto the Jews, and when they get redeemed, Shinig Alu, Omer Noso Al Geulasan, then we say the Hallel on the fact that we were redeemed. And Rashi, their comments, that's the Hanukkah Hallel. Take a look at the top, the Rashi. Al Kol Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem, Lishna Ma'al Yehu Denakat, Klomar Shem Chas V'Shalom Tavo Tzara Aleihem. So, he's explaining why it says Tzara Shelo Tavo Aleihem. Right, it says on every on every distress that shouldn't come upon the Jews. It sounds like it says that doesn't come upon the Jews. Rashi just explains it means that shouldn't come, not that doesn't come. Right? Shalom couldn't mean that doesn't come. Obviously, you don't say Hallel every day that a tzara doesn't come on us. That would be a lot of Hallel. Every day that there's no tzara, we say Hallel. Okay. But it says that every tzara that comes upon the Jews, but he wants that lishnam aliyah, means he's saying like tfu tfu tfu, you know, called tzara, and every distress that shouldn't come upon the Jews. If God forbid a distress should come upon them, and God should save us from it, then we say it upon our redemption. Kagod Chanukah. Just like Chanukah. Chanukah, he says, is merely an example of this kind of Hallel. And if there is some kind of miracle that happens and we are redeemed from a troubled time, then it's proper to say Hallel. That it's a mitzvah to say Hallel. And so Rashi says that Hanukkah is an example of such a Hallel. Okay? Kigon Hanukkah. Kigon means for example. For example, Hanukkah. So what do you think? These are the Gemaras, basically. What do you think? Hallel on Yom HaTzmut or no Hallel on Yom HaTzmut? So Eli says Hallel on Yom HaTzmut. Anybody disagree? Rabbi Sultan, if it's all because of Sukkot in December, then there's no Hallel on Yom HaTzmut. You know that. Yeah, but we're saying there's two kinds of Hallel. Hallel of Anes and Hallel of Yom Tov. So this is Hallel of Anes. So the question is it proper for us to establish such a Hallel? So I'll tell you that the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura both write that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't rule this, doesn't paskin this, and the Rambam doesn't write about it, but the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avraham both write that if a community has a miracle that takes place for it, they can establish a day of Hallel for that for themselves, for the community.
There were many times that happened.
Yeah, and that happened. We're going to go over some of those in a minute. There are times when there are communities that establish the Hallel for themselves. The question is, does Yom HaTzmot constitute the kind of miracle for which we should recite Hallel? So the arguments for it are obvious. I mean, we know that the founding of the State of Israel saved the Jewish people. I mean, there are millions of Jews that today would be completely lost were it not for that. And not only that, but it was in response, right? Yom HaTzmaut, the founding of the State of Israel, was in response to the Shoah, which is the greatest distress, you know, that faced the Jewish people in anybody's in recent history. And so that was the reason for the founding of the State of Israel. So the question is, does that now allow us to say Hallel? Those who think that it does can basically stop there. Right? They stop there. I'd like to discuss three objections to it, and then we'll discuss the responses to those objections as well. Okay?
I would object to the bland statement usually made that it was because of the Shoah. Okay. Theodore Herzl didn't know about the Shoah. He designed this. And they based on Jewish history and our experience through history.
No, that's right. No, I agree with that. Absolutely. Theodore Herzl and all the early Zionists that pre-Shoah, they also, and the Balfour Declaration precedes the Shoah, 1917. So that precedes the Shoah. That's absolutely right. But no, the world didn't get the State of Israel until after the Shoah, until the world saw, look what happens when there's no State of Israel.
I think it's just a point of whether or not people say the justification for Israel is the Shoah.
No, I agree. The justification for Israel is not the Shoah. The justification for Israel is because we are a nation, right, and we have our own land, and that it's clear that just like, you know, it happens to be that for thousands of years we didn't have our land, but we... Right, exactly.
Just a comment. I mean, you know, because of whatever our ancestors did, Nigdilenu Me'artzenu, we were exiled. Now, the thing of going back to Israel, isn't that a miracle? I mean,
it is, absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that we're able to go to Israel and we have our own government there, and we have our own, you know, we have self-determination, we have all of these things, all miracles. The question is, does it count as the kind of miracle for which you recite Hallel? So those who disagree with that basically have three objections, which we'll discuss. The first is based on this comment of the Maritz Chayas, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kayas, page 4. The Maritz Chayas comments on the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat about Hanukkah. I believe we studied this Gemara right before Hanukkah, either in this class or on Chal Shittus, I don't remember. But the Gemara says that the reason why Hanukkah was established as a holiday, the Gemara, when it says, why was Hanukkah established? Anybody know the reason why Hanukkah was established? According to the Gemara, not according to history. According to the Gemara. But the Rambam doesn't necessarily agree with the Gemara. The Rambam has other things. The Gemara says it was only because of the 8 days of the oil. Makes no mention of the military's victory. It's wild, right? Allah Nisim, our prayer, what we actually have, makes no mention of the oil. Only makes mention of the military victory. But the Gemara says it's only because of the miracle of the oil. So Maritz Chayes comments on that. He says, look where I underlined the top left. V'zelashon nichnasu laheichal matzu sham shmona shipudim shel barzel v'kavuosam v'hidlik bohem neiros ayin sham. So they found the eight wicks, and they were able to light the menorah because of those wicks. V'im kain ra'inu minyan chadash the shmona. Okay, you can skip that. The next underline. V'yesh lomar the sfira lahu dal kol panin srichim lemehadar al tahara heichi de'efshar. We have to go back to a pure state whenever it's possible. He gives a case about the fact that they didn't. He says, really, we should always purify what we find pure things. But then he says, why was that not considered a miracle? The fact they found a pure oil. Why is the miracle the fact that it lasted 8 days? Why is the miracle not the fact they found a pure jug of oil? Right? That should be a miracle in and of itself. They found a pure jug of oil. In fact, you know, one of the answers to the famous question as to why there's 8 days of Hanukkah, not 7 days of Hanukkah, because only 7 days were a miracle. First day was there. So one of the answers that they give is that the first day is because they found the pure jug of oil. So Maariz Chayes didn't like that. And Maariz Chayes says, no, finding a pure jug of oil is a nes nistar. It's not a nes nigla. And the outsiders who looked in wouldn't view it as a miracle because God's hand is not clearly there. Okay? And that's what he says at the bottom here, the last underlined portion, the last couple of lines in the comment of the Maariz Chayes. Aval hashas v'kan mehadar rak al hanes hayotze migeder hateva. The only kind of miracle that we can establish a holiday on is a supernatural miracle. Yotze migeder hateva. A miracle that supersedes nature. Ein omrim halel al nisim nistarim. We don't recite halel, says the Maariz Chayes, on hidden miracles. Asher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Lanu Bechol Rega. God does hidden miracles for us every moment. Well, you say halel every moment? Ve'erachti v'zeh b'chibur. And I already wrote a lot about this elsewhere.
You know, if they find a jug, that's not really a miracle. That's something that was in storage.
Oh, we gotta hurry up. Okay. So, let me tell you something. The Maariz Chayes is one of the sources that those who oppose halel on Yom HaTzimut, they say halel Yom HaTzimut was not a supernatural miracle. It was a natural miracle. The bunch of politicians signed the document. That's not a supernatural miracle. It's a natural miracle.
What got into the heads of the miracle?
So, but that's not supernatural. The point is, it all happened naturally. So the answer is that that's really not a very good objection to halel on Yom HaTzimut. And I'll tell you why. It all goes back to why we don't say halel on Purim. Okay? Let's go to the next page. Page 5, the Gemara and Megillah. That's right. It would seem, if the Maariz Chayes is right, then there's a simple answer as to why we don't say halel on Purim. Purim is a hidden miracle. God's name doesn't appear in the Megillah. It wasn't even clear, you know, the people in Shushan, they didn't know God was involved in this whole thing. God doesn't appear anywhere in the Megillah. That's a famous Nes Nistar. Every Hasidic rabbi gives a Dvar Torah. Esther Nistar, you know? Oh, look, it's got the name. Okay? So that's... If the Maariz Chayes is right, then there's one reason why we don't say halel on Purim. Because it's a Nes Nistar. With Maariz Chayes.
Yeah.
So here it goes. So look at the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah says, and this is the same, basically the same Gemara that appeared earlier in Erechin, which we skipped. Tanu Rabbanan, Arbaim Shmona Nevi'im, Ushva Nevios, Shinisnabu Lahem LeYisrael, 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that prophesied for Israel. V'lo pachtu v'lo tiral mashakasum v'torah chutzni mikra megillah. And they didn't add anything and they didn't take away from the Torah except for reading Megillah. The only thing the prophets established for us is that we should read the Megillah. That's the mitzvah the prophets added. That's why it's a mitzvah medivrei neviim. That's why the Rambam says it's a higher level, even though, you know, we kind of say Mikra Megillah is derabanan. The Rambam says that the Gemara says that it was established by the prophets to read the Megillah. It's a higher level derabanan than other derabanans. Okay. My drush, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. Why should we read the Megillah? Uma me'avdus l'cheira sabrin an shira. Mimisa l'chaim l'chol shekein? If we said Hallel from Avdus Lecheiros, what's from Avdus Lecheiros? From slavery to freedom, on which holiday? Pesach. If we say Hallel on Pesach, which is slavery to freedom, then on Purim, where we went from death to life, we had Haman was going to kill all of us, and we were saved, redeemed from that. Isn't it obvious? A lokol shekin, it's a kal v'chomer. It's obvious that we should say Hallel because of that. For that, Ihachi Hallel Nami. So we should recite Hallel on Purim. So Gemara now gives three reasons. Number one, Neima lefi she'eino rem Hallel neisha b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, the first answer given is because you don't say Hallel on a miracle that occurs outside of Israel. That's one suggestion. Could be you don't say Hallel on a miracle that occurred outside of Israel. So Gemara says, what about Yitziat Mitzrayim that was outside of Israel? So it was about going to Israel. I mean, the point was that it was about going to Israel. And on Purim, they didn't go to Israel. They just didn't die. Okay? Okay, good. Then the Gemara says, the next answer, Rav Nachman Amar, this is the, you know, see where the lines get wide? It's two lines up from that. Two lines up from where the lines get wide. Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyasa Zo Hilula. Rav Nachman says that reading the Megillah, that counts as Hallel on Purim. Meaning, it is proper to say, he disagrees with the first answer. The first answer says, you don't say Hallel on a miracle that happened outside of Israel. Rav Nachman says, no, you can, but reading the Megillah constitutes the Hallel. In fact, the Meiri writes that if you don't have a Megillah available to you on Purim, you should recite Hallel instead. That's what the Meiri writes. Yeah.
The local Hallel for a community, is that restricted to Israel or is it?
Nope. Okay, so the third answer the Gemara gives, the very end, Rava Amar, Bishlama Hassam Halalu Avdei Hashem Velo Avdei Paro. Makes sense to say Halal on Pesach, because they went from being slaves to Paro to being slaves to God, to being free people to God. Halalu Avdei Hashem Velo Avdei Achash Verosh Akasi Avdei Achash Verosh Anam. At the end of Purim, they weren't really totally free because they didn't go back to Israel, they didn't establish their own state, they didn't become independent, and they didn't become servants only to God. They still were subjects of King Ahasuerus. And so it didn't warrant a Hallel. Three possible reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. Number one, because you don't say Hallel on a miracle that happened outside of Israel. Number two, because reading the Megillah itself constitutes Hallel. That counts. Number three, because they didn't establish their own independence, they didn't become free to serve God, they still were subject to a foreign monarch, to Ahasuerus. What's not the answer? Number one, it's not the answer that it's an Eis Nistar. And number two, how did they even derive the question in the Maseches Megillah? What was the question? Obviously we should say Hallel on Purim, because we say Hallel on Pesach. Pesach was an Eis Nigdal, God split the sea. Purim was an Eis Nistar. The Gemara never assumes that there is any difference between a hidden miracle and a revealed miracle. The Gemara has no such distinction between an Eis Nistar and an Eis Nigdal when it comes to reciting Hallel. Not in the question, right? It could never say, or the Gemara could never have asked, why don't we say Hallel on Purim if we say it on Pesach, if there was such a distinction? They can't. They make that parallel. And number two, it's not one of the answers. And finally, I would have to add that Yom HaTzmaut, you know, counts for all three, you know, obviously Kriyas HaZoh Hilula. All three of the answers given to the Gemara would indicate that you should say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut, right? Because the first one, it happened in Israel. The second one, we don't have Megillah. You're not going to read Megillat Yom HaAtzmaut instead of reading the Halal. You're not going to read the Declaration of Independence. So that's silly. So, you know, Halal, Kriyas HaZohilula, that doesn't apply here. And finally, we did establish our own independence, and we got to run our own show, so to speak. So all the answers given in the Sefer Megillah don't apply. So that's the kind of the first objection of the Maariv Chayes, that it has to be a revealed miracle and not a hidden one. And our response to that, the response to that objection, is that it's not really clear that it has to be a hidden miracle.
Yeah, I had to go back to the point is that if you look at the paragraph that we recite,
yeah.
As you pointed out, it doesn't mention.
That's absolutely right. So, by the way, so the Rambam writes, and our prayers indicate that we do praise God and we do say Al Anisim and Hallel for the military victory and not just for the miracle of the oil.
So that's right. Was a military victory, the state of Israel.
Certainly military. That's right. I agree with that. Okay. So the next objection, the next potential objection, page 6. Rabbeinu Yaakov Zalom, this is the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah on Tractate Brachot, and he quotes Rabbeinu Yaakov. Anybody know who Rabbeinu Yaakov was? Rabbeinu Tam. Was Rabbeinu Yaakov. Rabbeinu Tam, the head of the Tosafists, he's Rabbeinu Yaakov. Omer, Shafilu beyamim she'ein gomrim bahem et ha'halel, ha'yachid chayav levarech. Wait, let's just skip for a second. Okay. You see, here it says Elakachua Inyan. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from where it says Verabenu, where I put the arrow. 7 lines down. The last word on the line is Kach. Elakachua Inyan. Sheikar Hahalel, Nitkan al Kotzara Vitzara Shalotavol at Sibor. Shebesha'a Shayal Kol Yistor al Tzara. Vahayaka Doshvaruch Wosemahem Nes. Hayuosin Yontov. If all of Israel is in distress and God does a miracle for them, then they recite, then it's proper to establish a hallel. And he goes on to explain how this only applies if it happened to all of Israel, all the Jews, not just to one community. That's what he says, the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, right? If you look at Masechet Pesachim, the second Gemara that we read, it said, Al kol tzara v'tzara shetavo alehen. So Rabbeinu Tam held that that only applied if it was a tzara and a geula for all the Jews, not just for one group. So there are those who claim that it's not proper to recite Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut because the establishment of the state of Israel is not a miracle for all Jews. For you and me, it's not a miracle. We live in New York, in Albany. We don't live in Israel. It's only a miracle for those people who live in Israel. And it's only, you know, and if you say that it's in response to Shoah, the distress, what was it, Tzara Vitzara? That was the Shoah. Well, that's only Ashkenazi Jews. Sephardic Jews didn't have the Shoah.
They have a
right.
They have a severe case of myopia, okay, of nearsightedness. If the state of Israel affected world Jewry.
Okay, Rabbi Sultan, you don't have to convince me.
No.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me. I'm telling you what the objection is.
I know.
That's the objection. The objection is based on this Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in the Rabbeinu Yonah, that Rabbeinu Tam read that Gemara in Masechet Pesachim as applying only to tzarot, to times of distress and miracles that happen to all Jews, not just to a select group. So obviously, people who agree with saying Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut respond to that objection and say, what are you talking about? The state of the Holocaust was a tragedy for all Jews around the world. And not only that, there was anti-Semitism all around the world of different kinds. And the state of Israel is a miracle for all Jews. Meaning we can exist today in America, and we are a strong Jewish community in America, in large part because of the formation of the state of Israel. I spoke about that yesterday in the sermon. State of Israel was essential to maintaining a Jewish identity even outside of Israel. And we see today that people flock, you know, in France, you know, people are flocking to Israel. They're leaving France in droves to make Aliyah. And so the existence of the state of Israel continues to be that miracle for all Jews. It's only a matter of, I mean...
The reason that the Kabbalah was rejected is because, let's be honest, because it was done basically, there were some religious Jews, but it was founded by and fought for by secular Jews. Okay? Yeah. They can't accept that. They want everybody who sort of fought the Amitabha.
So we'll talk about that in a minute. The Meiri on page 7 is the Meiri. So he kind of had a similar view. But he held that it's only proper to recite Hallel if you have a personal miracle and a personal distress, then you can recite Hallel without a bracha for yourself. That's how he kind of deals with the Rabbeinu Tam. Right? It's a compromise kind of a position. But it's based on the same idea that real Hallel with the bracha is only warranted if it happened to all the Jews. The Meiri says if you have a personal miracle, then he could say it without a bracha. So there are many people that recite Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut without a bracha based on this Meiri. This is basically the only source that says anything about Hallel on a miracle without a bracha. Based on this Meiri, they say, look, if you're an individual and you feel the state of Israel is a miracle, then you have the right to recite Hallel without a bracha. Okay? That's kind of where they come from. Again, those who argue that you should say Hallel with a bracha would say it's a miracle for all Jews. Okay? There's one other potential objection. And that is the question of marking Yom HaTzmaut as a quasi-Yom Tov. Is that a problem of Baal Tosef? Is it a problem to add an extra holiday to the Jewish calendar? Are you allowed to do that? And furthermore, even if communities were allowed to do that, does that still apply even if you don't live in that community? Okay? So wait a minute.
Okay.
So, just because of the time, I'm going to tell you what the next page says. We're not going to read it. On page 8 is the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer summarizes two positions and then responds. So, the Maharam al-Aksha, as a Rishon, was asked, is a community allowed to establish a Yom Tov for itself because of such a miracle? And furthermore, if people move out of that community, do they still observe that Yom Tov? Right? So let's say you live in Mainz or something, and some miracle happened in Mainz, and then you decide to move from Mainz, you move to Worms. Do you still celebrate the Mainz holiday when you move to Worms? Okay? That's the question. Maharam al-Akshar says, absolutely you do. Because, and he gives the example, he says, first of all, the Gemara says that a community is allowed to establish a holiday for itself, based on a miracle that happened to it, with Hallel and everything. And second of all, he quotes a story in which one particular rabbi celebrated a holiday because in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, his family brought a special korban on that day. So for his family, it was a holiday. Okay? And so that's the Maharam al-Akshar. He says, you should. The Pri Chadash disagreed. The Pri Chadash said, you can't establish a new holiday because we hold that batla masechet ta'amit. Megillas Ta'anit. Batla Megillas Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit is a Megillah, is a book that's not included in our Tanakh, but it's a Jewish book that has a list of all the days on which you may not fast. It's called Megillat Ta'anit, but it should be called Megillat Lo Ta'anit. Okay. But that it has all the days on which one is not permitted to fast. Okay, so we don't hold that Megillat Ta'anit. We don't maintain all those holidays anymore. There's a whole long list of holidays that different communities had. We don't have Megillat Ta'anit anymore. So Pri Chadash says once you canceled Megillat Ta'anit, you can no longer and those are all communal holidays that were established by certain communities. You can't make new ones either. You can't make new holidays either. So it's true. In the olden days, communities used to establish holidays for themselves, but we got rid of Megillat Ta'anit. We can't make new ones either. The Chasam Sofer says that's not true. It's true that Megillat Ta'anit was canceled, but we can still establish. But the only holidays that were canceled were ones that specifically had to do with the Beit HaMikdash. If the holiday didn't have to do with the Beit HaMikdash, it wasn't canceled. Like Purim. Purim, not at the Beit HaMikdash. Not canceled. Okay? Hanukkah, he says, was not canceled for another reason, because lighting Hanukkah candles became very popular. Because lighting Hanukkah candles became so popular, they didn't cancel Hanukkah. Otherwise, Hanukkah really should be canceled. I mean, the fact that we still celebrate Hanukkah is very strange. Because Hanukkah is basically Yom HaTzmaut for the Hashmonaim. Now, God forbid you should imagine, God forbid something should happen to the state of Israel. But I would imagine that if God forbid the state of Israel should cease to exist, God forbid, lo alayde, if that should happen, we wouldn't still celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. So the fact that we still celebrate Hanukkah is very strange. Hanukkah is basically Yom HaTzmaut for the Hashmonaim. So the Chasam Sofer says the only reason why we still observe Hanukkah is because lighting the 8 candles was very popular. The mitzvah became very popular. Everybody was doing it, so they didn't want to cancel it because everybody was doing it. Ain't chadash. Yeah, not. It's a great question. Next page, page 9. So that Chasam Sofer serves as the basis for Rabbi Meshulam Roth. Rabbi Meshulam Roth was a Hasidic rabbi who was from the Seret Hasidic dynasty. And he became a vehement Zionist. He was still Hasidic. Look, he wore a shtreimel and everything, but he sat in the basement of the chief rabbinate. And he was asked, is it proper to recite Shehecheyanu on Yom HaTzmaut? And in this tshuva on page 9, which is only the first page of the tshuva, but he says, I just want to read you the first line because he's so extreme. He says, Hana hacha ein safek shehayomahu shenikbal idei hamemshala v'chevrei hakneset v'rov gdolei harabanim lachugoto b'chol haaretz zecher lanes shel tshuateinu v'cheruteinu. There is no doubt that that day that the Knesset established and most of the big rabbis, or most of the big rabbis, meaning the Zionist rabbis, not most of the big, not the Hasidic rabbis, rov harabanim, rov gdolei harabanim. Obviously, only is applying to the Zionist rabbis. The miracle of our redemption and our freedom. Mitzvah lasoto simcha v'yom tov v'nomar halel. It's a mitzvah to make it a happy day, a joyous day with a yom tov. Make it like a yom tov and to recite halel with the bracha and halel and to say. He says shechianu. He says everything. Okay, Rabbi Roth. So that's what Rav Meshulam Roth held. And he quotes the Chasam Sofer. The next, you can read on here, if we don't have time, you can read on. He quotes the Chasam Sofer that we just discussed, that you can establish a holiday today. There's one other objection, which was basically Rav Soloveitchik's objection. Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe that you should say halal on Yom HaTzmaut. And the reason was that Rav Soloveitchik was very extreme when it came to matbeya shetiknu chachamim, matbeya hatfila, the form of the prayers. Meaning Rav Soloveitchik thought that once we have a sitter, and once the prayers were established by the sages and by tradition, we have no right to alter those prayers. That was Rav Soloveitchik's opinion. Now, and that if you go to Yeshiva University, in the main Beit Midrash in Yeshiva University, out of deference to Rav Soloveitchik's view, they don't recite Halal on Yom HaTzmaut in the regular service. They recite it at the after Aleinu and Kada, after the end of the service, they recite Halal. I was never there. I don't know what it's like, but that's what they do. Wait a minute. Let me just tell you, the fact is, though, that most Orthodox communities did not accept this view of Rav Soloveitchik. The answers to that are, you know, most communities skip certain piyutim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? You get up and the rabbi says, you know, we're on page 700, skip to page 740, because we skip all the piyutim that are in there. Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe you could do that. So most Orthodox shuls today skip piyutim. That's a fact. Most Orthodox shuls on Tisha B'Av, many Orthodox shuls don't recite all of the keynote. And many Orthodox shuls recite special keynotes for the Shoah, for the Holocaust. Rav Soloveitchik believed both of those things were improper. Rav Soloveitchik thought you may not skip any of the keynote, and you may not recite any special keynote for the Holocaust, because the keynote were already established by the sages, by the rabbis, and that's what you have to say. You can't add anything. Rav Soloveitchik, in his shul, did not recite the prayer for the State of Israel. Okay, because the prayer for the State of Israel is in the middle of davening, and it's not part of the traditional sidur that the rabbis originally established. So, if you really, you know, if that's something that speaks to you and you really believe that Rav Soloveitchik, you know, that if you agree with Rabbi Soloveitchik that we can't change any of the prayers once they've been established, then it's proper not to say Halal on Yom HaTzmaut for that reason, because we don't have the right to add new things anymore. But the fact is that most Orthodox communities did not accept that position. Most modern Orthodox communities say a prayer for Israel, say a special kina for the Holocaust, they skip the piyutim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we do all sorts of other things that don't jive with Rav Soloveitchik thought.
So, I really love Soloveitchik's writings, and I side with him on most of his halakhic decisions. This one I totally disagree with.
Right.
Okay? Because number one, keynote, that was certainly an addition. The keynote were written over a period of different
degrees.
What about
the students? The students of Rav Soloveitchik don't understand Rav Soloveitchik's position here because it's everything is that was added. Kabbalat Shabbat was never part of davening. Kabbalat Shabbat was added by the mystics in Tzfat. So where did that? Why is that okay? But this not okay. People don't really understand this whole business. But he was very extreme. He was very clear. You're not allowed to change Matbeat Tefillah. So one could also say that it's not Baal, basically, you know, somebody, there are those who would say that it's Baal Tosif to add a mitzvah to say Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut because there's no such mitzvah in the Gemara. There's no rabbinic mitzvah. But I think that they misunderstand the mitzvah of reciting Halal. The mitzvah of reciting Halal is not to say it on Hanukkah and on this. The mitzvah of reciting Halal is to say it when a miracle happened to save the Jewish people from distress. That's the mitzvah. So it's not Baal Tosif to say it on Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's a manifestation of that mitzvah that already exists. To say it on Yom HaTzmaut, and therefore we will be saying Ali davening. You don't have to. If you don't want to say it, feel free to go to the shtiebel or do whatever you want. We're gonna have halal here on Yom HaTzmaut. I'll say it with a bracha. That's been my practice, you know, so, as long as I remember.
Just a comment. I mean, with the establishment of the state of Israel, that was a miracle, Samui or now that's. But they had also the Chevet HaShikru, which is a trouble for the entire community, entire country, and with few that we had.
If you want, I'll give you the full 5-page response by Rabbi Meshulam Roth, that I have the first page here, and you can read it, and it has all those things in it, okay? All those things are in there. And if you look at the last 2 pages, there's the Gemaras that I told you about yesterday, that there's one passage that says you can't say halal if you're not supposed to, and the other Gemara says you must say halal if you are supposed to. There's no way out of this question. You have to decide. Is it right to say halal or is it wrong to say halal? You can't just do both.
Say halal.
That's right.